This past Shabbos, I was in Boca Raton, Florida, and I was there to speak in the shul, but also for a bar mitzvah of a son of a close friend. So they asked me to give the chabura after the early minyan, and I decided, it turned out it's a big shul. There were three bar mitzvahs in the shul that day. I think that's pretty typical. So I said, oh, in honor of the fact that there's so many bar mitzvahs, we'll talk about the issue of chinuch in the mitzvah of tefillin. And the issue of chinuch in the mitzvah of tefillin is a very interesting issue in terms of chinuch in general, because it seems to be a yotzei min haklal. It seems to be different than chinuch when it comes to other mitzvahs. I mean, normally when it comes to mitzvahs, what do we assume the age of chinuch is? As soon as the kid's able to do the mitzvah. 6 years old, 7 years old for most mitzvahs. And yet, by tefillin, we don't find that. We don't find that someone is putting on tefillin at the age of 6 or 7. So why not? What exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch when it comes to tefillin? And we're going to see it's not the only anomaly. There are differences as well. I also want to point out that while I was giving the shiur, I just mentioned parenthetically, I don't even remember what context it came up in, but I just mentioned that that very often, I think I mention this all the time, probably everyone here has heard this from me, that very often people think they've had their tefillin checked, so there can't be any problems with their tefillin, and because the sofer that they have it checked by is such a nice guy, so it must be that he knows what he's doing, and very often you have him checked for the third, fourth, fifth time, and they find that it was missing a letter the entire time, and all the previous times you had it checked, it wasn't anything. It was missing a letter. You never mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin in your life. And I mentioned how most of the times when they find a psul in the tefillin, the large majority of the time, it's not a psul that happened to the tefillin. It's a psul that was always in the tefillin. So I just got an email today that a guy from Atlanta, Georgia, who happened to have been in Boca Raton, Florida for Shabbos and came to that shiur, went home and had his tefillin checked again. He had them checked. They were bought from what he said was a reputable sofer in Yerushalayim. Had them checked when he was 20, again checked when he was like 25. And when he was 25, the sofer told him, don't worry, you never have to get them checked again because nothing happens to them. Meaning if they're fine, they're fine. So you don't have to get them checked again. He's now something like 35 and his tefillin were missing a letter. He went home, got them checked. They were puzzled. They were missing a letter. So he thanked me for bringing up that point, but it was also very sad that he was never in the mitzvah of tefillin in his life. So we had a shiur about that, right? About how to do tshuva for the fact that a person was never yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin in their entire lives. And I was mentioning this to one of the rebbeim in yeshiva today in DRS. It's Rabbi Klapholz, and Rabbi Klapholz said that Rav Shlomo Shvadron, he said that he had a mesorah, I forget from who, that when he's giving a shiur, if something like pops into his mind to say, he should dafka say it, because it's a matan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is telling him, someone in that room needs to hear what just popped into your mind. So he had it made me feel better to hear that my style, which sometimes when I'm saying shiurim, I get so far off topic and I start saying things that have nothing to do with anything. So now I'm assuming those are all matanos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not my lack of focus, my basic lack of focus on the topic at hand. So who knows what matanos are going to come today. So the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah tells us at what age a child has to do certain mitzvahs. The Mishnah Masechta Sukkah dafka relates to the mitzvah of lulav and tells us that katan yodei l'naneya chayev belulav. As soon as a child knows how to shake a lulav, he's chayev and lulav. But the Braisa elaborates. What about other mitzvos? So the Braisa, interestingly, highlights four mitzvos. Tan Rabbanan, katan yodei l'naneya, chayev belulav. When he knows how to do the nanuim, he's chayev and lulav. Lis atef, chayev betzitzis. When he knows how to wrap himself in the tzitzis, that's when he's chayev and tzitzis. Lishmor tfilin, aviv lo keach lo tfilin. When he knows how to protect his tefillin, then his father has to buy him tefillin. Yodei ledaber aviv lomdo Torah kriyashma. And when he knows how to speak, the father should teach him Torah and kriyashma. And that's it. That's the list. Now, what jumps out at you is there seem to be two sections to this brisa. The first two examples are, at what point does the katan become chayiv in these specific mitzvos? Lulav, tzitzis. And the answer is very clearly, when he knows how to do them properly. Lulav, when he knows how to do the nanuim. Tzitzis, when he knows how to do an atifa. Right, when he knows how to do these mitzvahs properly, that's when he becomes chayiv. If you skip out to the end of the braisa, when he knows how to speak, his father has to teach him Torah and Kriyashma. Not about him, now we're talking about the chiyuv of the father to teach him, which, by the way, is a chiyuv d'oraisa. We're not talking about chinuch midrabanan anymore. At the very end, the father teaching his son Torah, even when he's young, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But quite in the middle over there, we have tefillin. And we don't say that when he's yodea lahaniach tefillin, when he's yodea to have a kavana ba'anachas tefillin, or anything of that nature, that he's chayiv in tefillin. We say when he knows how to protect the tefillin, aviv lokeach lo tefillin. His father buys him tefillin. So why is that? Why is it that we shift from his ability to do the mitzvah to his ability to protect the cheft social mitzvah? An entirely separate thing. Like by tzitzis, we didn't say as soon as the string stopped getting cut every time he rides his bicycle, you know, or every time he runs around with his friends in the playground, so then he's... No, we say yodeh l'satev. We talk about the kiyum mitzvah. We don't talk about protecting the cheft social mitzvah. Yet when it comes to tefillin, it's nothing about hanachas tefillin when he knows how to put it on in the right place and, you know, remember to take off the plastic box from, you know, before he puts on the shal rosh every once in a while. If you're daven in a, you know, a 7th, 8th grade minyan, so the rebbeim of 7th, 8th grade, every once in a while, you know, they look around the room and there's like one or two kids with that just forgot to take the tefillin out of the box. You know, you need to get used to it. You need to get used to the whole process. So, doesn't say when he knows how to do that. It doesn't say when he knows how to do the mitzvah. It says when he knows how to protect his tefillin. Nor does it say that he's then obligated in tefillin. It talks about his father's obligation. His father has to buy him tefillin. So what is that about? Furthermore, what we're going to want to explain is what does it mean to be shomer the tefillin? Shomer the tefillin from what? What are you protecting the tefillin from? Who's after your tefillin? Who's trying to ruin your tefillin that you need to protect your tefillin? Furthermore, we're going to have to define this in terms of an age. Because the Bryce is clearly telling us at what age the child is supposed to put on tefillin, and it doesn't seem like it's saying, you know, what the standard minhag is, which is, let's say, I don't know, 30 days before bar mitzvah. It doesn't say that. It says when he's yodeh lishmor tefillin, which sounds like you're going to have to go through each child and figure out. You have different children. Some children are responsible and are able to take care of things and possessions at a much earlier age. And other children, well past bar mitzvah, you wouldn't trust them with anything. They destroy and they break everything. So it sounds from the Gemara that it really depends on the child. So we're going to have to define that age. And then we're going to talk about also, if we have an opportunity, if we have time, once he starts putting on tefillin, assuming it's before his bar mitzvah, should he do so with a bracha? And if he does so with a bracha, should he say Shachianu the first time that he does the mitzvah of tefillin? So all of that is what we're going to have to discuss. And just to make one quick ha'ara before we begin the discussion, when I mentioned that tefillin is a complete yotzei min haklal, it's different than any other mitzvah. I don't know if there exists another halacha like this, where the Gemara tells us to do one thing. The Shulchan Aruch clearly tells us to do a second thing, not what the Gemara said. And the minhag of just about everybody is to do a third thing that is neither like the Gemara nor like the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know of any other such halachi. Here we have a Gemara tells us when a kid knows how to be shomer his tefillin. So you can have a 9-year-old who knows how to protect his tefillin. According to the Gemara, he puts on tefillin. I think Rav Shachta told me he put on tefillin 2 years before his bar mitzvah because his father trusted that he knew how to be shomer his tefillin. Anyone else ever do that? No, that's not a common practice. 2 years before the mitzvah, 3-4 years before, shomer his tefillin, if he knows that he's a trustworthy kid. I was when I was in Boca, the Shabbos, so I put out that question, does anyone do that? And one guy raised his hand, said that he used to wake up with his father at 6 a.m. every morning just to be able to daven with his father and to wrap his father's tefillin. And his father saw that he had such a love for the mitzvah of tefillin that he asked his local rabbi, my son looks like he's really connected to the mitzvah of tefillin, can I have him start wearing tefillin? The kid was, I forgot what he said, 10 years old, something like that, 11. And the rabbi said, yeah, you can buy him a pair of tefillin. And he said, don't have him put on every 3 days in a row. You don't want it to become a neder. He had a whole list of rules for him. But that guy also said that he put on tefillin when he was 10 or 11 years old. But I don't think, I would guess if I took a poll in this room, no one, right? No one puts on tefillin at that age. But that's what the Gemara says to do. Then you have the Shulchan Aruch, not really Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, which all of Ashkenazic Jewry Paskins like, where the Ramah says that a child should not put on tefillin not even a single day before his bar mitzvah. Only at the bar mitzvah, not a day before the bar mitzvah can he put on tefillin. I would venture to guess that if I took a poll in this room, that applies to none of us also. Who doesn't put on the tefillin till mamish, till the day of the bar mitzvah? That they don't put on tefillin at all? That's what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. And the minhag of just about everybody is to put on tefillin sometime before, 30 days before, 3 months before, 2 months before. I can tell you, one of the more common shailas I get. The 30 days lands on a day that's not, doesn't fit our schedule so well, and the Sunday before, but that's going to be 32 days, or we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Those shailas make me feel very good, because I get to be the nice guy. It's fine, you can do whatever you want, it's good. So, because there's no halacha like that. I mean, we're dealing with something that's not a halacha at all. We're good. So how does that happen? That you have the Gemara says one thing, the Ramah tells you something else, and what we do is a third thing entirely. So in order to discuss, I should just point out one more thing before we start, is that we said that Yodea Lishmor Tefillin, that's not the Kiyum HaMitzvah, right? So it doesn't seem to fit the rest of the Lenanea, Leisatev, Lishmor Tefillin is not the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So in footnote number one over here, you'll see Rav Soloveitchik in his Shiurim suggested that it must be the Kiyum HaMitzvah, that there must be a separate Kiyum, not only of Hanachas Tefillin, but of Shmiras HaTefillin, which is quite a chiddush, that there's two mitzvahs of tefillin. There's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, and there's a mitzvah to protect tefillin. And he says that's why the Gemara tells us that b'ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to, when they took off their tefillin, they would recite a bracha, lishmor chukav, which is so strange. When do you recite a bracha after doing a mitzvah? You recite a bracha over la'asiyas, and before you do a mitzvah. Why would you say a bracha lishmor chukav? So Soloveitchik explained, it's not a bracha achrona on the mitzvah of tefillin. It's a bracha on the mitzvah of shmiras tefillin, which begins now. It begins when they take it off at night, and they're going to have to protect the tefillin throughout the course of the night while they're not wearing it. So it's actually a bracha over la'asiyas on that mitzvah of shmiras tefillin. And he says that's why the Mechilta in Parshas Bo says that a person has to check his tefillin once a year. Why would you have to check your tefillin once a year? Like we pointed out before, nothing ever happens to them. Unless you go swimming in your tefillin, nothing is happening to them. They're not getting destroyed. Why would you have to check them once a year? So Soloveitchik suggested that's a kiyum mitzvah of shmiras tefillin. It's not that we're actually concerned that something happened, but there's this separate mitzvah of shmiras tefillin, and you're mekayim that mitzvah by checking it once a year. So then you understand very well why the Tana would say that you're chayiv in tefillin when you know how to be shomer them, because that gufa is the mitzvah. So you buy the kid tefillin when he's able to do the mitzvah, maybe not necessarily of hanachas tefillin, but the mitzvah of shmiras tefillin. That's a very great chiddush. I mean, to say that there exists such a mitzvah called Shmiras Tefillin is a very, very great chiddush that Rav Soloveitchik has, but I don't think that's the pashtus. So let's start looking into this sugya, see what the Rishonim have to say, and how we get from what the Gemara tells us to what we actually do. So first of all, we have to figure out Shmira, what Shmira means. Shmira from what? So Rashi, Masech HaSukkah, and Daf Mem Beis tells us, Shmira means, Shelo Yukanes Ben Lebeis HaKiseh, that the kid is old enough to know not to go with his tefillin into the bathroom. L'chora, this is at a very young age. I mean, even a child who can't keep a gufnaki, who can't control his bodily functions, would know not to go into a bathroom. You know how, at what age is a child old enough to know not to bring a sitter or a chumash into the bathroom? What age is that, typically? So it's very partial, right? As soon as they have their sitter play. As soon as they have their chumash play. They treat it with more respect than any of us treat our sidurim or chumashim. So they could be taught a sense of kavod for a chefetz shel kedusha. They would never bring it into the bathroom, because then Morris said, or the Rebbe said, don't bring the sidur or the chumash into the bathroom. So according to Rashi's hagdara of at what age a child is yodea lishmar tefillin, we're talking at a very young age. We're talking 5 or 6 years old that he knows not to go into the Beis HaKisei. But the Beis Yosef quotes, the Bala Truma disagrees. Bala Truma says, no, Lishmar Tefillin means to be Naki Lishmar Osam Bitara Ke'elisha Bal Knafayim. To treat them with Tahara and Kedusha like Elisha Bal Knafayim. Elisha Bal Knafayim had this legendary relationship with his tefillin. He was Moser Nefesh. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Beitza, that he was Moser Nefesh to protect his tefillin. He was called Bal Knafayim because one time they caught him wearing his tefillin in public, and he ran away and he grabbed his tefillin in his hand, and they said, what's in your hand? And he said, Kanfei Yonah are in my hand. And they said, yeah, let's open up your hand and see. And he opened up his hand, and the tefillin flew. I mean, it was in fact a Yonah, and it flew away. This is the Guf Naki of Elisha Bal Knafayim. It was pointed out that after that, he probably had to go buy himself a new pair of tefillin, because, you know, once they, it doesn't say that he undid that magic trick. But he knew how to keep a Guf Naki, Shelo Yishan Behem, Shelo Yafiach Behem, not to sleep in them, not to pass gas. That's what the Baal HaTshuva says. So it turns out that there's a fundamental machlokas in terms of the age of the Yodea Lishmar that the Bryce is talking about. Then Beis Yosef quotes a Baal HaItur that when we talk about a katan in the Bryce, we say a katan who knows how to be shomer tefillin. So one thing we know, I don't know what age a katan is, but one thing I know for sure, he's got to be below the age of 13, right? That's like the basic. That's what katan means. Baal HaItur says no. Katan, he says, mistavrilon dahai katan perusho gadol. It's a difficult way to translate katan. He says, pashtus is, I think the definition of the word katan is gadol ben yud gimel shan of yom echad. It means a 13-year-old boy. Before the age of 13, he has no business wearing tefillin whatsoever. So that's how he reads the Gemara, that before the age of 13, cannot wear tefillin. Why not? So the assumption is that if he's not going to be able to protect them, he's not going to be able to treat them properly, then it's not chinuch, it's backwards chinuch. It's, if he's not able to be shomer them, it would be a terrible idea to try to be mechanichim. So we don't even want to risk it. Wait till he's 13, and then when he's 13, see if he knows how to be shomer his tefillin. That l'chora cannot possibly fit with Rashi. Right, it doesn't make sense that you would then check if he knows how to go into the Beis HaKisei. L'chora, if it would fit a little bit better with the Baal HaTshuva, that to keep a Guf Naki, which is a little bit more challenging, so only when he's 13 do we check if he can keep a Guf Naki. Says the Beis Yosef, Ve'ena kadai lahotzi abraisa mipshuta. He says, I understand the Baal HaItur's sensitivity to not want to allow a young person to put on tefillin, but the Braisa says, katan. And all of the poskim say, katan. So it's hard to imagine that you're not allowed to put on tefillin before the day of your bar mitzvah. But that's what the Baal HaItur says. The Ramah in the Darkei Moshe says, yeah, but the minhag is to do like the Baal HaItur, that people don't put on tefillin until the day of the bar mitzvah. And he brings a raya that the Braisa says in Masechta Sukkah that a katan ayodea lifros kapav cholken lo truma beveis agranos. It says if a katan knows how to do birchus kohanim, we can give him truma, you know, like we would to a gadol. So that has to be talking about a ben yud gimel shana, because the Gemara in Masechus Megillah says that a katan is not allowed to be yisus kapav, he's not allowed to do duchanin, and the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Saditeh says that you would never give truma to a katan. So the word katan in that very same sugya, when it talks about the chiyuv of chinuch, clearly means a gadol when it talks about lisa's kapa. It can't pass. So that's a raya to this shita of the Baal HaItur.
So the minhag of the Ramah assumes that every gadol knows how to
whisper to. Oh, so we're going to get to the Ramah in a second. Now, the halach lemaisa, the mechaber paskins, katan ayodeh lishmar tefillah b'tara, shelo yishan v'shelo yishfiach ben, if he knows to protect them, not to sleep in them, not to pass gas in them, and the Ramah adds, and not to bring them into the bathroom, which l'chor is obvious, chayiv aviv liknos tefillin l'chancha. The father has to buy him tefillin for chinuch, in order to be mechanichim at that age. Rav Avad Yosef writes that this is halach lemaisa, a year or two before the bar mitzvah, the father should buy him tefillin, like Rav Shachter reported his father did for him, a year or two before the bar mitzvah, and he says that B'nai Sfarad should follow the Maran Beit Yosef, as Rav Avad Yosef always says, and therefore you should do a couple of years before the bar mitzvah. But the Ramah writes that no, we follow the Baal HaItur, and he says kein nahagu ve'in l'shanos. Our minhag is like the Baal HaItur, not a day before bar mitzvah, ve'in l'shanos, and don't dare change from that minhag, which is interesting. Normally, when you have such a strong lashon of ve'in l'shanos, what does that indicate to you? When it has ve'in l'shanos, probably someone was trying to be mishana, right? You wouldn't say ve'in l'shanos unless there's. Right? I mean, so saying Ve'en L'shanos, then don't dare change this. Why are you being so defensive about it? No, it must be that there was a desire already to be Mishana the Minhag, but the Ramah says, should not be a day before the Bar Mitzvah. Why? Why would the Ramah hold that way? You know, the Bach writes that he finds the Ramah to be a plia atzuma. You know, all due respect to the Bala Itur, wonderful Rishon. But, you know, there are dozens and dozens of Rishonim that just read the Gemara, you know, normally, that Katan means Katan, doesn't mean Gadol. And the Beis Yosef didn't pull this out of thin air to say that Katan means Katan. Every other Rishon says that Katan means Katan. One day of the Bala Itur, so the Bach doesn't understand. How could the Ramah paskin like the Bala Itur against all of the other Rishonim? Against Tosos, the Rosh, the Mordechai, the Rashba, all the other Rishonim. It's stunning, the Bach says. So we need to understand where the Ramah is coming from. And furthermore, like Dalia just pointed out, that if you're going to say like the Ramah, if you're really going to say like the Bala Itur, it's not enough to wait till he's 13. You should wait till he's 13 and then examine whether he's able to be Shomer Tefillin. Why don't we do that? Meaning, even according to the Ramah, everyone at the age of 13 is putting on Tefillin. We're not then examining them. If the Ramah really wanted to be loyal to the Bala Itur, to the Bala Itur's reading of the Gemara, when he's 13, we should then see, okay, do you know how to be Shomer your Tefillin? But we don't do that. So there are three explanations of the Ramah that I was able to find. One explanation, probably the Pashut reading of the Ramah, is that every child when he's 13, you get him Tefillin, even if we don't know whether he knows how to be Shomer his Tefillin or not. We don't check into that. And the Bir Alach explains, because Kayom, nowadays, it's much easier to be Shomer the Tefillin than it used to be. Well, why is it much easier? Because it used to be they'd wear Tefillin all day long. So nowadays, how long are you wearing Tefillin for already? Meaning the Shachris, the whole Shachris in a shul that davens really slowly, like ours, takes 35 minutes. The you know, the kvetching about how terribly, 35 minutes, the whole Shachris. And guess what? You can come 10 minutes late for no extra charge and leave 8 minutes early. I'll bring you a riot. People do it. So you have your Tefillin on for what? 17 minutes. For 17 minutes, you can't keep a gufnaki. It's so easy. You know, when you used to wear your Tefillin all day long, that was much, much harder to keep a gufnaki. So it's, yeah, the Bala Itur says wait till he's 13 and then see if he can keep a gufnaki. The Rama just cut out that last part because it's not necessary. What 13-year-old can't keep a gufnaki for the 25 minutes that he's going to be wearing Tefillin each day? Everyone's got to be able to keep a gufnaki for that small amount of time. So Pashtus is, that's what the Rama is saying, that he really holds like the Bala Itur. You wait till the age of 13, we don't mess around with putting on Tefillin before the age of 13, and that's what the Gemara was talking about, that only when he's, you know, that katan over there means a gadol, which l'chara is a big chiddush, because it would then translate over to lulav the same, and to tzitzis the same, that you know, anytime a 6th or 7th grader is not wearing tzitzis, and the Rebbe says you have to be wearing tzitzis, you can say, Bala Itur, katan is means only a gadol, that's yodel l'sadef, not a katan, right? To be consistent, that would turn out to be the sheet of the Bala Itur, but and the Ramah would be paskening that way, right? That we pasken like the Bala Itur. In Sefer Mipnei Arav, Rav Shachter has a different understanding of this. He says, no, it's not that our ability to be Shomer or Gufnaki got easier. He says it got harder. It became more challenging for us. Meaning, we're so concerned about our inability to keep a Gufnaki that we try to be Mitzamtzem Hanachas Tefillin Kol Mada Efshar. As much as we possibly can limit our wearing of Tefillin, we do. For example, women are allowed to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. So women volunteer the mitzvah of lulav, they volunteer the mitzvah of sukkah, they volunteer to do the mitzvah of shofar. Why can't they volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin? And they can't. There was a misconception going around a couple of years ago that women are allowed to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin. It's beferish in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. Women are not allowed to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin. Why not? Because they can't keep gufnaki, or we're concerned about the gufnaki. So we limit the wearing of tefillin as much as possible because of concerns of the gufnaki. So according to Rav Shachter, the Ramah doesn't really think the Gemara is saying like the Bala Itur. No, the Gemara is saying katan. It means a katan that's Yodei Lishmar already could put on tefillin. We're just very concerned. Our minag became to do like the Bala Itur, but velav mitameh. We follow the Bala Itur, we wait till 13, but not because that's what the Gemara meant. No, the Gemara meant even a younger kid, but our minhag became to minimize as much as possible not nachas tefillin. So we cut out anything that's unnecessary. We cut out the wearing tefillin all day. We cut out the tefillin before bar mitzvah. So that's what. But in reality, we paskin like everybody else. We paskin like all the other poskim, and that's all the Rama means. Now l'chora, there might be a huge nafkamina between the Mechaber and the Rama, not only in terms of at what age the child starts to wear tefillin. There might be another significant nafkamina between the Mechaber and the Rama, or at least between the Bali Iter and the other Rishonim. If you say that katan means gadol, so the Gemara is saying that the father has an obligation when his kid is a bar mitzvah to buy him tefillin. Right? If you say it like the Bali Iter. That is stunning. That's shocking. Because nowhere do we find, by any other mitzvah, that once a person becomes a bar chiyuva, that another adult has an obligation to buy for that person, who's an adult already, al pi halacha, the chefta shel mitzvah he's going to need. You don't have a chiyuv to buy, well, matzah is a bad example because of the minhag of malas chitin, but you don't have a mitzvah to buy anyone else a dalim mina. We know we don't have such a halacha that you have to buy your kid a lulav. We don't have such a halacha that you have to buy your kid sittis. When he's after bar mitzvah. Before bar mitzvah, of course, you have mitzvah of chinuch. But the way the Baal Yitzhak is understanding is that you have a chiyuv to buy your kid tefillin after his bar mitzvah, which means that since he's going to be doing this every moment of every day for the rest of his life, it's the father's responsibility to provide him that which he'll be able to do that mitzvah for the rest of his life with. But if you understand, like all the other Rishonim, that the chiyuv is when the kid is a katan to buy him the tefillin, so what's the nature of that chiyuv? That's textbook chinuch. That's just a regular chiyuv of chinuch. So when I buy my kid a lulav when he's 10 years old, that doesn't mean that I'm in it forever, that I now have to buy him a lulav every year after his bar mitzvah. No, when he's old enough to make his own money, I don't know if he becomes a doctor, so he starts making money at the age of 40 or so. So when he turns 40, I don't have to buy him a lulav. Let him buy his own lulav at that point, right? But so therefore, by tefillin it should be the same, right? If it's purely chinuch, like all the other rishonim, I have to buy him when he's a kid. I have to buy him tefillin. So let's say I have four sons. Let's say I have four sons. So, do I have to buy each of them a separate pair of tefillin? When he's an adult, it's his problem. I have a chiyuv chinuch so long as he's a katan, right? So if I space them properly, right? So I can buy my oldest son a pair of tefillin when he's 11, let him wear those tefillin for 2 years. Then when he becomes bar mitzvah, okay, you're on your own kid, go figure it out, and take that same pair of tefillin and transfer it to my next child. And let him do, let me become a mitzvah chinuch. So lav dafka that I have to give it to him, right? I could be lokech for him to use. Meaning, if it's a mitzvah of chinuch, who says that he has to own it? Right? So it could be that that's a nafkamina between the Bali Iter and the Shar Rishonim, or between the Mechaber and the Rama. Then there's a third understanding of the Rama, which I'm not really sure I understand, to tell you the truth. And that would be as follows. The Rav Shturmbach quotes this from the Brisker Rav. Rav Shturmbach in Shuvas Vanagos, Chayil Beisim L'chav Tez. This is on page 4. I quoted the passage from Rav Shturmbach in the italicized section. V'nir lefarish al pi chidush maran hagriz salvejik zatzal. Shemefarish per Rambam. Let's see if you notice the difference in the Rambam's formulation and the Gemara's formulation. Says the Rambam, Katana yodea lishmar tfilav, aviv lokeach lo tfilin, kedei lechancho b'mitzvos. That when a kata knows how to protect his tefillin, the father buys him tefillin in order to be mechanech in mitzvos. So I would have said, okay, the change is kedei lechanecho b'mitzvos, right? That we added those words. Briskrov focuses on something else. The Bryce had said kata neyodeh lishmar tefillin. The Rambam's formulation is kata neyodeh lishmar tefillav. His tefillin, not just tefillin. So what? What does that mean? So says the Brisker Rav, and here's what I don't really follow. Farish maran zatzal sharam diek lishmar tfilav v'lo tfilin. Demayri sheyachol lishmar tfilin v'lo lezorkom lo'aretz v'lo lesachik behem o lachnisim besakisei. Avaloka amar lishmar tefillin lo lasiach dasu chedome. Tefillah would mean Rashi's kind of shmiras tefillin, not to bring it into the bathroom. Tefillin would mean the, what was the other shita? The balatruma. The balatruma is kind of shmiras tefillin, to keep a gufnaki, to make sure your mind is clear. So he says, the Gemara is medayik by tzitzis luv kriyashma, the katan is chayiv. But when it comes to tefillah, we say the father is chayiv. So what does that mean? What's going on over here? So he says, of course, when the kid is able to do the mitzvah, midin chinuch, katan is chayiv. He becomes chayiv in doing the mitzvah, midin chinuch. And that applies to tefillin as well. Being able to do the mitzvah means being able to put on your tefillin with a guf naki, being able to put on your tefillin without, without passing gas, without having hirhurim, without just keeping focused, total guf naki. That's the equivalent of yodeya l'naneya lulav. That's the equivalent of yodeya lisatif patzitzis, to do a mitzvah min amuvchar. And that's when the child will be chayv in the mitzvah. But before that, before you ever hit that point, the father has to buy him tefillin. When you at least get to the point that you're not going to go to the bathroom with them, that you'll keep them out of the bathroom. He needs to have tefillin around before he becomes chayiv in the mitzvah. Why? Why would he need to have tefillin around before he becomes chayiv in the mitzvah? So it's like we were saying before. Because what's going to happen? The child, let's say, he hits the age of, 11, when he's yodea, lishmar, not to be masiach das, and not to be mafiach, and all that. So good, now you have your tefillin, put him on, he's going to get them all wrong, they're all going to, the ritzuos are all going to slide right down his arm, it's going to be coming off, he'll be in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, all of a sudden he'll see the tefillin like fall out of his jacket sleeve, he's not, I have no idea how to put him on, it takes time to get used to putting on the tefillin, so he's not going to be there yet. So the way the Rav Shturmach is explaining the Shitas Rambam is that when he's Yodea, not to go into the Beis Hakisei, the father should just buy him a pair of tefillin, not to wear, he's not chayv to wear them every day yet. Buy him a pair of tefillin to sort of experiment with. Once in a while, put them on. See, get used to them. Not every day, just get used to them. As long as you can protect them, it's okay, we could trust him that much. Ooh, once he knows not to be Masiach Das, then start putting them on every day. So the Gemara never meant to say that a katan that knows how to be shomer tefillin is chayiv laniach tefillin every single day. No, when he knows how to keep him out of the bathroom, he's chayiv to have the father has to make sure that the kid has them in order to be able to experiment with them. So it's really two dinim in lechora. What we're saying over here is that there's two separate dinim in the mitzvah of chinuch: to be mechanich the katan, to be mekayim a mitzvah, and to be margil the katan. In the Maisa mitzvah. The katan's not chayiv in the first din of chinuch, but the Maisa, he still has to be margul himself to get used to the mitzvah. And maybe that's what the Ramah means. That's what Shurmach suggests. That the Ramah is saying at what age he is chayiv to start wearing the mitzvah. Okay, so that we pass along about that you wait till 13 to actually start wearing the tefillin. But what the Gemara says, katan yodei lishmar, That's as soon as he's not going to walk into the bathroom with it, he should have them to at least experiment with. Okay, now we saw what the Gemara said, we saw what the Rama said. What do people actually do? So, at what age is it appropriate for a child to start wearing tefillin? So we have amongst the Achronim, we have a collection of five different possibilities of minhagim of when to put them on. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham that 2 or 3 months before the bar mitzvah. And l'chora, that's what he means, that's what the Gemara means, yodea lishmar tefillin. That 2 or 3 months before the bar mitzvah can't mean a 9 or 10 year old because it's too early. So that yodea lishmar is 2 or 3 months before the bar mitzvah. That's the pashtus. The Aruch HaShulchan, we'll leave out some of the other minhagim, some say a year or two, some say, 12 years old, a year before the bar mitzvah, whatever it is, some say 6 months. But take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, on top of page 6. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, the minhag is 1 month before the bar mitzvah. Interestingly, he writes, that morgul b'fiya amon, sheyasom yaschil b'shana kodem laniach tefillin. And even though a child should put on tefillin 30 days before his bar mitzvah, it's yadua that people say that when a child's a yasum, he should put it on a year before his bar mitzvah. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, Lo yadati shum tam lezev lo nechol ninokein mitam shaviyarnim. He says, I don't understand where in the world that would come from. I think I could understand where that would come from. Where does that come from? If the whole idea of putting on tefillin earlier is like Rav Shlomberg was saying, you just get used to them, know how to do it. Well, how do most children learn how to do it? How to put on their tefillin? Their father helps them. Well, as they're doing something wrong, the father corrects them, and the father says, no, this is how we do that. He may need more time if he doesn't have a father, if he's a yasom. So maybe the yasom requires a little more time. But anyway, the Aruch HaShulchan says the minig is 1 month before the bar mitzvah. Where does the 1 month come from? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, probably, I'm sorry, not the Aruch HaShulchan, others write, say for Shari Shalom and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, the 1 month probably comes from the Gemara Pesachim Dav Vav, that Shalom V'Dorshim B'Hilchos HaChag, Lamed Yom Kodem HaChag, that we start studying Hilchos Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Why? Because apparently 30 days is the standard amount of time that it takes to get used to something, that it takes to learn about something. That's not so pashut, though, to say that, because there's a long Bir Halacha in the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach that quotes the major discussion in Achronim. This idea of Shol and Vidarshim, Hilchos HaChag, Lamed Yom Kodem HaChag, is that true about every Yontif, or is that only true about Pesach? So it may not be true by Shavuos. We're already Shol and Vidarshin 30 days before Shavuos. There are no halachas. What are we going to study 30 days before Shavuos? By Sukkot, there's plenty to study, but still, is there such a din 30 days before Sukkot? So the Bir Halacha has a long discussion about that. It might only be a Pesach din, because Pesach has so many details and there's so much to prepare for. So it may not be, that Gemara may not be indicative of 30 days being the necessary preparation time for a mitzvah. It could just be something local to Hilchos Pesach. There are other halachas that relate to Pesach that probably show you that 30 days means something. The Gemara, in that same context, in the beginning of Pesachim, talks about if a person leaves his house within 30 days of Pesach, and he doesn't know if he's going to be back before Pesach, so the halacha is, he has his chayv in b'tikas chametz before he leaves. Why? But if he leaves 31 days before, he's not chayv in b'tikas chametz. Why? Because within 30 days, you already have to be focused on the mitzvah. You already have to be thinking about that mitzvah. So that's probably what he means, that 30 days before comes from the Gemara Pesachim. At that point, you need to be focused on the mitzvah. But I saw a fascinating explanation, even though it's almost definitely incorrect, but it's still a fascinating explanation of this minhag of 30 days before, from Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer writes that, you know, there is a... there is a machlokas. If a child is born in Chodesh Adar and it is bar mitzvah year, there are two Adars. So when is his bar mitzvah? Right? That's the classic bar mitzvah drasha of anyone that this happens to. Just like a classic bar mitzvah drasha of anyone who becomes bar mitzvah during Svira is about whether he's chayiv in Svira on a daraisa level. So when do we celebrate his bar mitzvah? So me'ikar adin, the halacha is that it becomes a bar mitzvah in Adar Beis. But we try to be machmir kol hadeos. So we try to be machmir l'chumra. You should already observe the mitzvahs. You know, no more cheeseburgers already in Adar Rishon. We try to be, you're not allowed to eat cheeseburgers even much younger, obviously, but like when you're born. But because there's Timtum Alev, there are other issues. But you know what I'm saying. No, we try to be machmir already from Adar Rishon. But, you know, Adar Beis is when his real bar mitzvah is. So he says, so here you can have a child whose bar mitzvah is going to be 30 days later. And yet he's going to be putting on tefillin l'chumra 30 days earlier. So a low plug, we tell all children to do the same. Because if that kid does 30 days before his bar mitzvah, why shouldn't I do 30 days? So low plug, all children do 30 days before the bar mitzvah for the Adar Beis kids. For those kids, that's why we do it. Okay, like I said, probably not correct, but a very creative suggestion. In addition to that, there may be, even if you hold like the Ramah, not to put on before your bar mitzvah, there may be a specific chashivas to putting on the tefillin on the day of the bar mitzvah. For example, let's say the bar mitzvah, or to have at least put on tefillin once before by your bar mitzvah day. So for example, if your bar mitzvah falls on Shabbos, or your bar mitzvah falls on Chol HaMoed, or Yantif, so you put the tefillin on 1 day before, even if you're going to hold like the Ramah. There's a mesorah in many communities to do something like that. The Rosh Sturmbach writes in the Tshuva that the Hasidim are knowing like the Ramah, that they don't put on the tefillin at all before the bar mitzvah. Rak yesh medaktikin shumu bar mitzvah b'chol moed, or b'shabbos l'niach yom kodem. But if they're going to become a bar mitzvah on a day that they can't wear tefillin, that they should put it on the day before. Shabiyom shenichnas lemitzvos kvari niach tefillin shalmeir alachduso yisparach shemel. The tefillin is an os, the tefillin relates to our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the day you become a bar mitzvah, that should already be there. So you want him, if he can't put it on tefillin on that day, so at least have it, make sure that he has done it before. And says Rav Sturmbach, a maisa with the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav became a bar mitzvah on Hoshana Rabbah. Good. So he darshaned to bring rayas that there's no yisod whatsoever for the minag to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. This was the Brisker Rav's bar mitzvah pshatel, that no one should put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. It's all a ta'us, it's all a mistake. It's deos in Rishonim, it's the deos in Shulchan Aruch, whether you should put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But that was the Brisker Rav's bar mitzvah drasha, not to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But even as he's darshaning this, because his bar mitzvah was Hoshana Rabbah, Reb Chaim told him he should put on tefillin on the day of his bar mitzvah, even though it was Chol HaMoed, because it's the day of your bar mitzvah. So never put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed the rest of your life, but the day of your bar mitzvah, you can't go without tefillin. So Reb Chaim told him to put on tefillin on the day of his bar mitzvah. And that, and the Brisker Rav said, it was the only time in my entire life that I ever put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed was the day of my bar mitzvah. It's somewhat curious that he would have told him that. You know, Reb Chaim was pretty strong about this minhag. In fact, Rav Shachter writes in Mipnei Arav that when Rav Aaron Soloveitchik became a bar mitzvah, his father already lived in America. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was still in Europe, and his father lived in America. So who's going to teach him to put on tefillin? His father already became Rosh Shiva in YU, and Rav Aaron was still in Europe. The family came over later. So who's going to teach him? So one of the Feinsteins taught him. Rav Aaron's mother, the Rav's mother, Rav Aaron's mother was a Feinstein. They were first cousins with Rav Moshe. So one of the Feinsteins, one of her brothers, one of Rav Aaron's uncles, taught him to put on tefillin. And he taught him that you're supposed to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed without a bracha. So when Rav Aaron came to America and Rav Moshe heard that Rav Aaron was taught, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik heard that Rav Aaron was taught to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, he was shocked. Hufta Aviv Hagon Rav Moshe Lishmoa. He couldn't believe it that he was told to do this, and he said that no, in Valazhin that was not the minag, and you should follow the minag of what we did in Valazhin. Don't listen to your uncle. A big deal that the Soloveitchik said not to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Yet the Brisker Rav, because of the Yom Bar Mitzvah being special, that when it was the day of the Bar Mitzvah, he put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So what about the bracha? What about the bracha? So what would you say? Pashtus is l'chara. It depends on this whole issue we were talking about. Why would one put on tefillin before the bar mitzvah? If it's just, like Rav Shnurmuk said, just to play around with it, to get used to it, but you're not actually, it's not chinuch in the sense of being mekayim the mitzvah as an ena mitzvah v'yosa, you know, so then l'chara you wouldn't make a bracha. But if you're saying that, no, it's katan yodei lishmer tefillin, we're doing like the Rov Rishonim. We're putting on tefillin early because we hold that we're yodei lishmer and the child is ready to be mekayim. So just like a child makes a bracha on lulav, and just like a child makes a bracha on tzitzis, he should make a bracha on tefillin. It turns out that there are deos in the achronim what he should do. Whether you should or should not make a bracha l'chor, it's all tali on that issue. And how to understand why he's putting it on early. Is it just to get used to it? Or is it because he's actually being mekayim the mitzvah on some level? And the final issue is in terms of the bracha of shechianu, whether the child should say shechianu. And that too is a discussion in the poskim. In Halicha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman said his etza was that when he would give his children their tefillin before their bar mitzvah, he didn't give it to them as a matana. He gave it to them to borrow. And then on the day of their bar mitzvah, that's when it became a matana for them. So then on the day of their bar mitzvah, they said a shechianu on the matana of the tefillin. It's a very expensive matana. And also on the mitzvah of being able to put on tefillin. So they would say them both at the same time. That was the etzah of Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Okay, so there's a little bit about this unusual mitzvah of being mechanich children in the mitzvah of tefillin.